Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashmi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, what makes the head of a regime that kills and marginalizes Arabs regularly go and visit wounded Arabs? Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has visited militants fighting against the Syrian government who have been wounded. Now, Israel has regularly given insurgents medical treatment during the 3 years of conflict. The question is why? Stay with us as we take a look at this question and many others on this, the debate.
Occupied Golan Heights. Here is an Israeli military field hospital where Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is visiting those injured in the war raging in Syria. Among the wounded are insurgents who've been treated in Israeli medical centers, and not once. This militant says it's his third time seeking medical help from Israelis.
I entered Israel twice. This is my third time here. The service is excellent and they treat you well.
Numbers released by Israeli media show that more than 700 injured insurgents have been treated in Israeli hospitals since the war broke out in Syria back in 2011. This rising trend seems to have boosted Netanyahu's morale. Repeating his past practice of drawing lines, the Israeli premier painted Syria and its allies in the bad light.
Here's the dividing line on the Golan Heights between the good and the bad. The bad is what is happening on the Syrian side of this border. That's the bad. Here's the good. It's right near.
Netanyahu, shaking hands with the insurgents, won the praise of the foreign-backed Syrian National Coalition, a loose umbrella group of fractured external Syrian opposition based in Turkey. Mahmoud Badi, an SNC leader, says Netanyahu's public support sends an important message to the Syrians, especially after the failure of the talks between the government and the opposition in Geneva. Netanyahu isn't the first Israeli official who's fallen for such false flattery. Last September, a Syrian opposition leader hailed Israeli housing minister Yuri Ariel for his comments about an alleged chemical attack near the Syrian capital Damascus in August 2013. Ariel had said Israelis can't remain silent over what was going on in Syria, a reference to the accusations that the attack on Ghouta was carried out by the Syrian government forces. Israel already stands accused of being a part and parcel of the deadly conflict in Syria. Damascus says it seized a large number of Israeli weapons and ammunition from the insurgents. The weapons coming from across Syrian borders and beyond have been freely flowing into the hands of militants. Saudi Arabia, the Persian Gulf country that saw the downfall of Syria's President Bashar al-Assad, is coming to the militants' help with better ammo now. A Saudi source says Riyadh is in talks with Islamabad to better arm the insurgents with Pakistani anti-aircraft and anti-tank rockets. It's not the Saudi royal house who has the insurgents back alone. Qatar and Turkey are also helping the militants, many of whom are foreigners. The deadly combination of the quartet, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Qatar and Turkey, staunch supporters of the insurgency in Syria, makes a deadly recipe for further regional instability.
Well, let me welcome my guest to the program out of London, Mr. Anjam Chowdhury, Islam for UK organization. And out of Orlando, Florida, Mr. Scott Ricard, ex-American intelligence linguist. Welcome both of you to the program. Well, let me start this off in London with Mr. Chowdhury. Does it surprise you that Netanyahu would visit wounded insurgents who are fighting against the Syrian government?
In fact, it doesn't surprise me at all, because the Israeli regime know that they are in a very volatile situation. If, for example, Dawla Islamiyya under Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who are the strongest opposition to the Syrian regime, overthrow the Syrian regime, they will implement the Sharia, and as a foreign policy, they will make sure that the pirate state of Israel is removed and Muslim land is annexed together. What we find, in fact, in the whole area is that there are those people who believe in democracy and who believe that the Israeli regime is not a priority, and among them are the Syrian National Coalition and those people who are affiliated with them. On the other hand, you have people who are against the Syrian regime, and they are against as well the Israeli regime. So at the current time, Netanyahu is trying to hedge his bets. It is a propaganda, coup for him. But at the same time, he needs to ally with those people who will maintain his own security and his stability. And what we find, in fact, is that for many years, there has been no bullet fired via, you know, Hezbollah or Iran or indeed the Syrian regime. In fact, the best security for the Israeli regime is the presence of Bashar al-Assad or Hezbollah or the Iranian regime in the area, because they don't have the
Let me just jump in here with what you just said. You said then the best thing for the Israeli regime is the presence of the current Syrian regime. So if that is the case, then why is he visiting insurgents? Why is he supporting the insurgents if Bashar al-Assad would stay, would be in Israel's benefit, sir?
Well, it's a very good answer to that, which is that they realize that the Bashar al-Assad regime will be removed. So it's a question for them of the lesser of the two evils. Obviously, if they can support people who believe in democracy, who don't have the removal of Israel on their own agenda, like the National Syrian Coalition or some of the FSA, that's better for them. But on the agenda of the real mujahideen, those people who are, for example, in Dawla Islamiyya, is the Khilafah, is the Sharia, and it's jihad to liberate not only this land, but also the whole of Palestine, which is what Israel occupies at the current time.
Okay.
You know, and this is the biggest nightmare for them, you know, in existence at the moment.
Well, Mr. Ricard, let me get you in on this. Interesting comments by our guest out of London. On the one hand, he talks about a lot of these insurgent groups are actually those who want to liberate Palestine. But it is interesting that we have never seen many moves head in that direction. But we see now a concentration. We've had comments also earlier by some of the individuals, the insurgent groups, that Israel is not its enemy. How do you explain this latest fiasco with Netanyahu actually then visiting some of these fighters, sir?
Well, you got to start this back in 1967. Israel attacked Syria and took quite a bit of the Golan Heights. And you basically, Hafez al-Assad came back and took some of that land back. And ever since then, Israel and the United States and Saudi Arabia, as well as several other nations around the world, including England and France, have worked very strongly against the Hafez al-Assad and his son Assad's regimes. And now these aren't, you know, by far, you know, the most democratic regimes at any given time. But at the same time, they're far better than the chaos that has ensued across Libya, that has ensued across Iraq, that has ensued across Yemen. You have over 6 million refugees still in Iraq. You have well over 2 million refugees now in Syria. And Syria is about 20 million population, and Iraq is about 30 million population. So, you know, these are dramatically chaotic situations. And this situation actually started in around 2005 when the Saudis paid the vice president of Syria to leave the government and go set up a sort of anti-Syrian movement in Brussels. And in Brussels, you had quite a bit of activity alongside NATO and the Saudi petro puppet states that have really been working on this for over a decade. And this type of activity, that this gentleman is referring to, no doubt there are some religious conflicts, but the numbers are very small comparatively to the massive amount of resources and funding that has gone behind this from the West. The West has been behind this since the 70s. And Israel started it in the 67 time frame. Now, more recently, in 2005, after the vice president left Syria, they started to bomb Syria, and the Israelis have been bombing Syria since 2007, unprovoked, with El Kabir in 2007, and even four times last year. Because what they're hoping for is that Assad will actually respond and bomb Israel, because that will cause an all-out war. And the reason Israel wants this is because if they can weaken Syria and get Syria and take over Syria, that will dramatically weaken Lebanon and Hezbollah. And that's in favor of also Saudi Arabia. So these groups have been working together on this, obviously.